Life is never going to be perfect, but God's word always is, so you always have somewhere to go when things go different than you expected. So today we're going to start a series about how a church should deal with tough issues. And there are a few tough issues, but today we're going to deal with how do you deal with when people hurt you? And I want to preface this. I'll say this now, and I'll probably say this in a few minutes. People are going to hurt you. But there's a difference between things that you can let go and something that is just eating at you. You know, there's certain things that we need to be, what would you say, big about and just let go. I mean, when you can, that's the best way to do it. I mean, if Jesus can pray that God forgive the people that crucified him, by the way, I'm technically one of them, because it was for my sin he died, then I can let some things go. But you know, emotion is a fickle thing. And sometimes you can try to let go as hard as you want, and it just ain't going anywhere. Have y'all ever had that happen to me? I've had it happen to me. It hurts. When somebody says something and just eats you to the core, it hurts. Or when somebody does something that is just so wrong that you can't let it pass, what do you do? Because if you just bottle it up inside you, all that's going to happen is you're going to eat yourself up and everybody else around you. And you're going to be hurt and you're going to get yourself physically ill. That's not the way things are supposed to be. And Jesus, in his wisdom, knew that we would need a way to cope with what to do if somebody offends me to the point that I just can't let it go. So let's look at Matthew chapter 18, starting at verse 15. Jesus is continuing a conversation he's been having. And he says, "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against you, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained a brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." Let's pray. No, it's fine. Thank you. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you today. We ask your forgiveness where we failed you. We thank you for everything you've done for us. Bless this message, that it be your message and not something I'm just doing. Forgive us where we failed you. Bless the services today, both now and later. In Jesus' name, amen. So, we're going to hurt each other. That's sad to think about. It's scary to think about. But it's going to happen. If you live long enough, if you ain't never been hurt by somebody and you live long enough, you're going to be hurt by somebody. It's just a fact of life. And interestingly enough, some of this church advice, not advice, it's a prescription of what to do. Some of this can actually be applied in the rest of life.
Obviously, you don't bring a member, or you don't bring somebody that's not a member to the church, that doesn't do any good. But we will see some things that we'll bring out and we'll say, hey, you can use this out there too. Okay? As a matter of fact, I have an example, but I'm not there yet. What does he say? He says the first step is a private meeting. Look at verse 15. It says, if your brother trespass against you, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. Again, I have to say, it's a good idea to be careful here. We should never be easily offended by the slightest little thing. However, when we can't let it go, and those are going to be times, there's going to be times where you just can't let it go. There is a process, and this is what we do. And I will say this too, let's not deceive ourselves. Let's not say, well, I've let that go, but man, then you haven't let it go, have you? You might want to take care of it, because you do not want bitterness to fester within the church. I use that word, it's a gross word, isn't it? Fester. Disgusting, isn't it? That's what bitterness is, though. It's like a wound that's just getting infected from within. And if we let it blow, it's going to damage our church. And it's going to damage us. So we need to tackle it before it goes that far. But there's something we need to understand. A lot of the time, maybe even most of the time, they don't even know they've done anything. Did you know that? They don't even know they've done anything. Man, I had a girl that worked at Sonic, and she was a member of a church I was attending. And she came to me and she says, I have a question for you. I don't know what to do. I've got this person in there. She knows she's aggravating me. It's horrible. And you know, she's doing this and doing this and doing this. She knows she's bothering me. And I don't know what to do about it. I said, have you talked to her about it? Well, no. I think you might ought to do that. It might help. She may not even know she's doing anything. Sure enough, a few days later, you know, you were right. She didn't even know she was doing anything. We're all good now. All it took is a little bit of discussion. Now, folks, this step is good whether you're in church or you're out there. This step is good in a family setting. This step is good in a church setting, obviously, because that's what we're talking about. But it's also good in a work setting. Let's talk about family for a second. How many family relationships have been destroyed because bitterness somebody couldn't let go? Too many. But if somebody would have approached the situation sooner, could that relationship not have been saved? Well, it's the same way in church capacity. If you catch this problem early and you go and talk to the person, you talk, don't fight, you talk, and things are okay, and they say, oh, I didn't even know, I'm sorry, you know, I didn't even know. And the Bible says you've gained a brother. In other words, that relationship is back. You're okay now. Everything's good. Right? The goal of this whole thing is to gain and keep the peace and regain fellowship with this brother or sister in Jesus Christ. That's the goal of the whole thing. The goal is not to embarrass that person. The goal is not to have a gripe session with that person. I know that's the goal we would like it to be sometimes, but that's not the goal. The goal is to talk it out so they'll know. And that they can, well, you can address it. And if everything's good, then you've gained a brother. But let me tell you something. There's a lot of Christians that miss this first step. They do what? They stumble over it. They trip over it. Let me tell you what I mean. Come home from church one Sunday. You know what so-and-so said to me. They said this and that and the other, and it just made me so mad I just got a vent. No, what you should have done is talk to them about it. Because that's what the Bible says. It says talk with them and you alone. We got to be careful. Because let me tell you what happens. And by the way, this can also happen outside of the church. When we start airing our dirty laundry, other people's impressions of certain people could be damaged. And now I know what somebody might be thinking. At certain times when they're upset, they're thinking, I want this person's reputation to be damaged. But you don't. Especially if they're a member of the church, but even if they're not. Because here's what's going to happen. You're going to find out they didn't even mean anything by it, and you're going to be sorry you spread that little dirty laundry. That's what's going to happen. Then you're going to be the dirty one, and now you're going to have to go apologize to them. Now, I heard a guy, by the way, you know, when we start, that's getting awful close to gossip, isn't it? You know what so-and-so did to me? The story is told of this guy who started telling things like this to a bunch of people, and he started being convicted when the preacher preached against gossip. And he went to the preacher and says, I don't know what to do about this. I don't know what I can do to fix this. And the preacher says, well, I'll tell you what you do. Get you a feather pillow. Climb to the top of the mountain, or walk to it, drive to it, whatever. Get to the very top, and in the wind, empty that feather pillow of all the feathers. So he does it. He comes back and says, I've done that. Now what do I do? He says, all right. Now go back and pick up every single feather that dropped. He says, I can't do that. Preacher said, that's right. And you can't fix what you've done. The damage is too widespread. The only thing we can do after that point is repent, talk to the person, and try to make it right. That's why we need to be careful and do what Jesus said when somebody upsets us, we go to them alone. Say, you know, this hurt my feelings. Or maybe it was something they did. You know, not necessarily something they said. But whatever the case may be, we talk to us and them alone. Hope it's nothing as small as you kept my ink pen. Come on now. I really need that ink pen back.
But if it was, at least you'd get your pen back without having a fight. I know that's a little silly, but the point is, you talk to them and you alone. Just y'all. And a lot of the time, what's going to happen is they're going to go, I didn't even know. Or, if they said they was going to do something and they didn't do it, which is one reason people get upset, I totally forgot that I had even done it. I am so sorry. You're okay. That's all it took. Every now and then, somebody's going to be stubborn. And they're going to say, well, you just need to grow up. Or something. I don't know what they said. Thankfully, I haven't dealt much with that. But you know, every once in a while, somebody will be like, I don't care what you think. I'm going to say what I want to say and do what I want to do.
At that point, you've got to take another step. And it is not go to your neighbor and say, you know what so-and-so did to me? That's not the step. The step is you take one or two people, in this case from the church, right? And you go and talk to them again. This is not a gripe session. We said that last time. Right, it's still not. You know, because what a lot of people's going to do is they're going to be like Jerry Springer. Some of y'all may know what that is. We start yelling up a tree and everybody's having a yelling session now. And, you know, they're going to throw things in a minute. That's not what we're doing here. As a matter of fact, that's not how God's people are to act. It is a simple conversation of what has been done and just a request that things be made right again. Except this time, you've got witnesses. So if the guy says something, the other guys hear it. Right? Now, there's another reason these two people are here, though. Because if you look at verse 17. Because 16 tells us to take the two or three witnesses. 17, or sorry, one or two people to make two or three witnesses. 17 says, if he will neglect to hear you, or if he doesn't hear, now see, it doesn't say that. It does not say if he neglect to hear you. What does it say? If he neglect to hear them. Well, the only thing I can take from that in my little simple mind is that they're trying to help too. They're trying to talk sense calmly into the situation. Wisdom. Counsel. You know, brother so-and-so, you really did hurt his feelings. And we totally do understand why his feelings were hurt. We really do wish you'd apologize. Right? Is that yelling? No. Obviously, we go back to verse 15. If he hears you, you're good. Everything's fine again. And here's the thing. Here's one thing. If one person comes to you and you think, they're just making a big deal out of it. If three people come to you, you might be like, this might be a little more important than I thought it was. Right? You might think twice. Well, that's why Jesus wanted them to do that. Right? It's important. However, some people are going to be stubborn. And Jesus addresses that in verse, starting at verse 17 again. If he neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. So you go to the church. You go and bring it in front of the whole church. So is that really necessary? Apparently so, because nothing else has worked. Let me tell you what you don't do. You don't go to the church and say, this person has hurt me. You need to get him out of here. That's not what you do. What? Isn't it? No. And that's what a lot of people are doing, and they're missing a crucial step. You tell it to the church for the same reason you took two or three witnesses, pretty much. And that's that the church now, hopefully, can reason with this guy. He can repent and everything will be okay. Right? Now, if that doesn't work, Jesus continues. If he neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto you as a heathen and a publican. So what is he saying there? What's a heathen? An unbeliever. What's a publican? Dirty, rotten, filthy, dishonest tax collector. That is not a strong, that is not loose words there. That's pretty powerful words. And I guess you could say he's saying, if he's not willing to act like a saved man, then treat him like he's not one. Let me tell you something. A person that's not saved can't be a member of a church. They are to be removed from church membership. Now, this is not to say that he cannot come to church services. Because we allow non-repentant sinners to come to church services, so we allow anybody to come to church service. As a matter of fact, that's probably where this person needs to be the most. But this person can no longer vote in church business meeting. He can't take the Lord's Supper, and he can't be considered among the membership. In other words, is his name on the church roll? No, it's not. No, it's not. We don't do this out of spite. We don't do this out of hatred. It's not for revenge. It's for love. Paul was dealing with a situation that we'll talk about later, not in this message, but another one. He was dealing with sin in the church. But he said something that I wanted to point at in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. If you want to turn there, you can. Keep your place in our passage here, though. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 4. Paul was getting on to them and saying, you know, you're tolerating this and you shouldn't be. And he tells them this. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 4. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, and my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. That's strong words. What's it saying? It says this person isn't among you anymore. And if there's any protection to be had by being a member of the Lord's church, which it sure looks like there is, he doesn't have it anymore. Now, that's a little bit scary. But he says, his physical body will be hurt, so his spiritual health can be restored. Kind of like when Dad used the belt back in the day. Now, some people are going to say that's too severe, and I'm not here to debate that left or right. But I will tell you this, it worked on me. That's all I'm saying. And I'm old enough that they can't go get it for doing it. So, it worked. Now, that's not how I'm going to discipline. That's a whole different situation because I work with the people we work with. But the point is, and this goes whether it's the belt or whether it's a grounding or whether it's a timeout, whatever it happens to be. The point is, discomfort is caused so that the child's well-being is restored. Because, for example, if a kid reaches out for a burner that's on, you slap their hand. Why? Because I would rather him hurt a little there than hurt a lot here. Or you move his hand. Well, he didn't want his hand moved. Yeah, a little discomfort is fine compared to what he would have had. This is the whole goal of church discipline. And it don't matter what the reason for the church discipline is. The goal is the same. It's to bring the person back to a right relationship. And no, I'm not going to say with the church. With God. Because if a person is acting the way that these people are acting in these references that we are looking at, they are not where they need to be with God. If you are hurting somebody and you just wave it off, you don't love them very much, and God wants us to love them. You're not being very understanding, and God wants us to be understanding. Now, that doesn't mean we can't talk against sin. And if I say something behind the pulpit that is against the sin, and a church member says, "Brother, you offended me. You said such and such was wrong," I'm going to wave it off. You know why? Because such and such is wrong. And I believe they wouldn't be able to find two or three witnesses, because the other guys are going, yeah, he said it's wrong because it's wrong. You know? The point is to bring someone back to God. Now look at the last two verses here. Verses 18 and 19. "Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven." Actually, we'll look at 22. "Whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them." By the way, that brings a whole new light to that verse. We use it to say, well, we're worshiping and Jesus is together with us. That's not what that verse is saying. That verse is saying, if a church disciplines somebody, Jesus is okay with it if it's for the right reason. Says Jesus is saying, guys, you may have to discipline somebody and I'm backing you. It's kind of like, and I said this in Sunday school this morning, it's kind of like the parent telling the aunt, uncle, or babysitter, hey, if you have to punish them, I'm behind you. Because if they're not, it won't do much good. I heard a story about, I was watching a show, I won't say what show, they was talking about something the kid was doing. He was just a horrible kid, doing horrible things. And it was prescribed what she should do. And it wasn't nothing terrible, but it sounded gross. And she says, "I can do that?" And the psychiatrist said, "Not only can you do that, it's necessary." And the point was, you have to stop the bad behavior.
I was reading a book called, part of a book called The Baptist Way, and this is what the gentleman in there said. He said, "The terms binding and loosing were concepts used by the Jewish rabbis in the first century to refer to the power of judging matters on the basis of the revelation of God." How did God reveal Himself to us? Through the Bible. And that means if I am, as a church member, or as to bind or loose a matter, that means I better be doing it by what God says, not by how I feel. Christ has given the church the necessary authority to restrict a sinful person under a disciplinary process or to liberate a repentant believer from the process. The church has the authority to do that. As a matter of fact, it's the goal. I want to read something. Earlier we read how Paul told them to basically put this guy out of the church because of some stuff he did. Now read this. I'll just read it to you. Listen carefully. Paul says, "For out of much affliction and anguish of heart I wrote unto you with many tears." By the way, when sin or hardship or conflict is in the church, it can affect the pastor very, very much. Susan will tell you there have been times where I was just like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. God's always gotten us through it. But it's not pleasant for us. So we feel it too, is basically what I'm saying. And he says, not that you should be grieved, but that you might know the love which I have more abundantly unto you. He's saying, I'm telling you this, well, I guess for the same reason I'm telling you what I just said. It's so that you will know we love you, right? Verse 5 says, but if any have caused grief, he has not grieved me, but in part, that I may not overcharge you all. Sufficient to such a man is this punishment, which was inflicted of many. So what he's saying, he's telling them, and this is a whole lot of big words. But what he's saying, guys, he's had enough. He's had enough. Apparently, this guy is repenting. And Paul's having to call the dogs off. Verse 7 says, so that contrariwise, you ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Wherefore, I beseech that you would confirm your love toward him. When someone comes to the church after all this has happened and they say, hey, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. We are not only to forgive them. We are to take them and love them. And they need to know they're loved. They need to know they're forgiven. And they need to know that you're on their side. Now, we've been through a good deal here. We've been through stubborn people and mean situations and taking steps to try and fix the problem. And we even got so far as the person had to be let go of the church. But here, what we read in this situation is the goal of all of it. Because it's not designed to end that way. It is designed to end with the person coming back, repenting, apologizing to the church, and being forgiven. And then being supported. Kind of like the prodigal son, isn't it? When they come back, it's time to cook the fatted calf. It's time to rejoice. So, this whole thing may sound scary, and it can be. But there's two things we need to realize. The first one is, let's take care of things God's way, not the way the world would. And the second, let's not be the person who has to be disciplined. When somebody comes to us and says, hey, this hurt my feelings, or you did this, or you forgot this, let's take it in stride and take it the way God wants us to take it, with humility, love, and occasionally an apology. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.